My brothers and sisters, for what two sacraments is it expected that a person would wear white? Now, a person could wear white for every sacramental occasion if they desired, but there are two in which white is prescribed for that sacrament. Now, probably the easiest that's all coming to the minds of each one of you is the sacrament of baptism. But what is the other? It is the sacrament of marriage for the bride. And why? Why in these two sacraments? Because there's an intimate connection. Oh, we've got the babies here. Because there's an intimate connection between those two sacraments, and the white is to express the exact same thing in both sacraments. What is white for baptism? For purity. Because the Holy Spirit sets us free from sin, and our hearts are cleansed. And actually, sometimes couples, very beautifully, they'll only put the baptismal garment on their child after the moment that they're baptized, to say, now my child is truly set free. Why does a bride wear white on the day of her wedding? It is supposed to be, it has always been, except until maybe modern times, to express a woman's purity. It is to say, I have saved myself for this man. It is to be, it's always intended to be, a symbolism of the woman's virginity. And in fact, until recently, a woman would not wear white if she was not a virgin. For example, if she had lived with her spouse before they got married, it would not represent that which the garment is supposed to. But why else does a woman wear white on the day of her marriage? Because that's what she wore on the day of her baptism. Because, my brothers and sisters, it was on the day of her baptism, on the day of every one of our baptisms, but a bride can express this most profoundly, that every single one of us was wed. That it is a marriage ceremony. That we became one with our Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. We're set free by the Holy Spirit from all sin so that our Lord Jesus Christ can come to live in us. And so when a woman takes, in a sense, a second spouse on the day of her marriage, what is she saying? What is the reason for Catholic marriage, for Christian marriage? What is the goal of every sacrament? It's eternal life. So a bride takes a groom, an earthly groom this time, because that's the one she believes is going to help her to become one with her true spouse, our Lord Jesus Christ. So beautifully, I celebrated a funeral yesterday, and I love when God does this. He gives me homily material when I need it. Celebrating a funeral. And it was for a longtime parishioner here. Actually, many of you would probably know the family, the Wegener family. And the father, the grandfather, Pete Wegener, I met with his family, his wife Nancy, and their children to prepare for the funeral. And I said, you know, can you describe your dad to me? If someone said, tell me about your father, what would you say? And then I said to Nancy, I would say, can you tell me about your husband? And she said, Father, do you want to know why I married him? And I said, oh, okay, sure. And she said, Father, because he was the holiest man I ever dated. Oh man, how far we've come in 50 years. Did that make it on your list when you were choosing a spouse? Right, it wasn't on mine. Now, I didn't know I'd become a priest one day, but I wrote a list out in junior high, right? Beautiful, intelligent, athletic. Holiness was not on the list anywhere. But really, if we were seeking the true end of marriage, I mean, that would be at the top. I want a person of faith who's going to help me obtain the goal for which we're all made. I just finished a really beautiful book about an Italian woman who died a few years ago, who lived a apparently heroically virtuous life, and people believe that she might have been a saint. Her cause is going forward. She was a wife and a mother. Her name is Chiara. And on the day she died, she asked her husband that morning, she died of terminal cancer, so she could tell her condition was deteriorating. On the day of her death, she asked her husband that morning, she said, would you clothe me in my wedding gown? And not first and foremost for her husband, but for our Lord Jesus Christ. And her husband sent out a text to all their friends and said, our lamps are alit. Referring to that gospel passage where our Lord says, the bridegroom is coming, keep your lamps alight. And people were amazed that they never one single time ever heard him say, you know, I'm angry at God. Why would God do this to me? Why would he take my spouse at such a young age? His best friend shared that he, when he asked him, gosh, how are you doing with all this? He said, you know what? He said, there's times where I weep. He said, but there's this deep peace in my soul. How could I be unhappy for my wife when she's going to the one who loves her more than I ever could? We celebrate the baptism of our Lord. My brothers and sisters, why did Jesus Christ enter into the waters? It was not because he had any sins. He's God. He cannot sin. He didn't go into the water to be purified. He entered the waters to purify them so that they could one day purify us. He went to identify himself with sinners because he came to be one with us. And so that we, the sinners, could be set free so that that union could take place. He entered the waters because he's our bridegroom. And John the Baptist, he says this, when the scribes and Pharisees come to him and they say, are you the Christ? You remember how he answers? And they must have been mystified. Like, what is this guy talking about? He says, I am not the bridegroom. My brothers and sisters, when did our Lord Jesus Christ become our bridegroom? At what moment during his life? Scripture is so clear on this. Now, in a general sense, someone could say, well, the moment of his incarnation, the moment he took flesh, a union came about between him and our human nature. But remember when the apostles of John come to him and they say, how come we fast but your disciples don't fast? Jesus says to them, how can they fast when the bridegroom is with them? When the bridegroom is taken away from them. And when is the bridegroom taken away from his wedding party? Only at the end of the wedding ceremony when he goes off with his spouse. So he says they can't fast yet because we're still celebrating. I have not yet been wed. So his entire time with the apostles, it's like a Jewish wedding ceremony. And the Jews, I mean, they get this. Would that we still did this. They would celebrate for an entire week. And those first 6 days, it was just time with family and friends and a lot of wine. And only on the seventh day did the man celebrate his nuptial ceremony and leave with his bride. My brothers and sisters, when was our Lord Jesus Christ's wedding? Okay, so we have to understand a Jewish ceremony. At a Catholic wedding ceremony, how do you know who the groom is? He's the best dressed guy. Right? He's got the nicest tuxedo on. Everybody at the wedding party, if they were there, they'd look and they'd go, oh, there he is. At a Jewish wedding ceremony, how do you know who the groom is? There were two ways. A man, on the day of his wedding, he would dress as a priest, and he would dress as a king. Now, hopefully you guys who are married, on your wedding day, you said, hey, I'm a king today. Right? Of all the days of my life. Well, for the Jewish people, that was true. When our Lord Jesus Christ is unclothed, when he's stripped of his garments before they nail him to the cross, it says they were going to scatter his garments. They were going to share them. But what did they find? They said, we need to cast lots for his robes because it's a seamless garment. What is the scripture telling us? That he is dressed as a priest. A priest would wear a seamless garment. And my brothers and sisters, what else was our Lord wearing upon the cross as he was nailed there? He was wearing a crown. At a Jewish wedding ceremony, the groom wears a single seamless garment and a crown for the sign that he is king. Our Lord Jesus Christ took us as his bride, the church. When he was nailed on the cross, it was then that he laid down his life for us as a man pledges to do on the day of his marriage. My brothers and sisters, I close with this. And those of you who are married, maybe you would have the best insight. Whatever questions you would ask about your spouse and about your marriage when you're wondering, how do I improve this? Or where are things at? They're the exact same questions we should ask for our relationship with our Lord, who is our one true spouse. Gosh, is the communication there? Am I making time for it? Man, if you don't talk in a marriage, what happens? It falls apart. Are we still keeping a date night? Are we still making that time where we are alone? As the years go by, do we find the love deepening? Are our hearts being given ever more to our Lord Jesus Christ? Yesterday, in the eulogy, this man, Pete, his daughter Judy, the eldest child, she closed with this. She said, "Our dad used to say to us when we were little kids, he would say, 'I want to raise you in such a way that when you go to meet our Lord, you approach him without any fear. That when you see him, your first thought and desire is to go running towards him, to throw yourself into his arms.'" As we receive our Lord today, let's ask him that we might live in such a way that we're ready to welcome the bridegroom. And if that marriage that we have with our Lord that took place in the day of our baptism is struggling, stifling, is hardly existent, may we do whatever is necessary to repair it. It's our most important relationship.